This is the Mile High Five podcast with Carl Jensen and Doug Cunnington. We have authentic conversations about the journey to Phi, health, happiness, and some very odd tangents. We interview Phi experts, side hustlers, people on their way to Phi, and those who have reached the other side. Join us every week, and if you want the show notes and links and all that other stuff, head over to milehighfi.com.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. I'm Carl Jensen.
And I'm Doug Cunnington.
Oh, I forgot to say, and my co-host.
Yeah, man. We've done enough. I remembered what I was supposed to say. So today is a little bit different. We're going to talk about some trends and stats from the broad personal finance perspective. It's generally about increasing prices. And really, we get to be old men and complain about the good old days when you can get a cheeseburger from McDonald's for 59 cents. You remember those days?
I do. And like the hamburger was 49 cents. It was like 10 cents cheaper, right?
Those were the days. And we're going to tell kids to get off our lawn, among other things. We're going to talk about average car costs and payments. We'll talk about fast food prices, including Carl's beloved Taco Bell. And I think it's hit you guys pretty hard, if I understand right.
Yeah. It's blowing our budget to smithereens.
We're also going to talk about something fairly controversial. That's tipping and the confusing culture around tipping. Oh, man. And I did a little research around this, and it's weird. It's a weird thing. I'll tell you, this was my idea for this episode, and I have been watching a handful of YouTube videos. The algorithm, it figured me out. So it was serving up some videos, and it's just around like consumer culture. It's pretty interesting, fairly well-done videos overall. And that's where this came from. So I'm going to read out a bunch of facts and stuff, and we're just kind of going to go back and forth. Couple, cool things. We're exposed to this. Everyone is, right? You actually bought a new car in the last year. People do have to get new cars. We eat out, right? Especially in our road trips and stuff. Like, you can't help it, but occasionally to go to a fast food place, right? And then tipping. Again, we go out to eat and go to breweries and different places like that, or, every place is asking for a tip these days. So everyone's sort of impacted by this. We're going to jump right into car costs. And last time I bought a car, it was 2005. I bought my truck and it was used, or maybe it was 2006, but long time ago, right? I think I paid about $12,000 for it, got a small loan, payments were low, and then I paid it off a little early. And my brain is price anchored in those old days, and I got a cheap truck at the time. I mean, it was already used and all that kind of stuff. So new cars as of June 2024, $48,644. Now that's down from the high about a year ago of over $50,000, but it's still 29% higher than the pre-pandemic price of about $38,000 in February of 2020. Pretty insane. So just off the bat, how do you feel about those prices? Do those seem alarming to you, or what do you think, Carl?
I think people get too hung up on these numbers. Like that $48,000 is including huge vehicles like Chevy Suburbans and Escalades and luxury European cars. You could still get, I think the more interesting number is what the cheapest car is. And I don't even know what that is. I would assume it's like a Toyota Corolla or something like that, which is probably around $20,000. And the funny thing about that is a Toyota is probably a better built car than a lot of these cars that cost quadruple what it costs.
Okay. So you're discounting, you're just like, oh, you know what? It's information, but it doesn't paint the full picture, right?
Yeah, you could buy a car for $48,000, but you don't have to. I'm going to Google right now while we record what is the cheapest new car you can buy and see what it is.
And I'll fill in some time here. So the Toyota RAV4 and a Honda CR-V, those are more popular, and five of the 10 most popular vehicles sold at transaction prices below $40,000. So that is obviously much lower than the average, and it's skewed, of course.
Okay, so I come up with a Nissan Versa at $16,390, and I'm trying to, there's a lot of Nissans in here. They must have a hard time moving cars. You can get a Kia, a Nissan Sentra. So A lot of these cars are fine to move your family around, so you don't have to spend $48,000 on a car.
Mm-hmm. And great point. Another one, so car payments. This is interesting too. Average car payment for a new vehicle is $735 per month, and that's as of the first quarter of 2024. The average payment for used cars is $523 per month. And when's the last time you had a car payment, Carl?
Oh, I think it was in 2010. We bought a car and we were going to pay cash, and then they had some 0% financing thing. So, of course, we did that.
Okay. Very interesting. And the other crazy thing is the average loan term for new vehicles is a little less than 6 years. For used cars, it's about actually close to the same, just under 6 years. So the crazy thing is about 80% of new cars are financed. So 20% are paid for in cash. And then for used cars, about 38% of those are financed, which is interesting. So I didn't know what to expect when I started doing the research for that. But, you know, car payments of $700, that's a lot. It sounds like a lot.
Yeah, that seems crazy to me. And I wonder, I think I've seen 84-month loan terms, so that would be 7 years, which seems ridiculous to me too. Like, I don't think most people, I think the average length people keep their cars for is right about that. So you're going to have a payment for the entire time you own the car, if that's the case.
Right. And there was another stat in one of the videos that I watched, and they mention people basically being underwater on their car, and then they'll roll the previous loan, the amount that they're under, into the next car. So they're even more likely to be underwater in a new car. Isn't that bananas?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I think if you're listening to the show, you're not in this situation. You're probably buying like a used car, or you have your finances in order. But it's just amazing because, like I said, some people are like, oh, I'm just going to roll this up. I'm going to have a low payment that I guess I can afford it. But obviously, it's a poor financial decision to keep rolling it up, because unless you keep one of these cars for the term and longer, you're continually going to be underwater. You're never going to get out from under that.
It's crazy. Cars are an appliance. I've got a slight luxury car now on the Tesla, which was about $35,000 after the tax breaks. And funny enough, it was about $48,000 before all that, which is the average price here. But that was a luxury, and I surely would not have bought this thing if we didn't have the means to do it. Yeah, cars are crazy. I think there's hope. I think all this is going to change. Do you remember Arizona, where all those Waymo cars were driving around?
Oh, right, right, yeah.
And Waymo just announced they're expanding into new cities. They're expanding into Los Angeles and other parts of the Bay Area, and I think Austin. And for the longest time, they did not drive on highways. And as of yesterday, I think, they're letting them drive on highways. So this car stuff is crazy, but I think in the next 10 years, a lot of us won't even have to own a car anymore. We can just rely on those robo-taxi networks. I'm going off on a huge tangent here.
No, let's go into it. Yeah, because I mean, it's hard to imagine that world, but, you know, the self-driving on your car, it's gotten much better in the last year or whatever. Waymo, like you said, is expanding. So do you really think in the next 10 years, there will be that much more adoption, the technology will get better, and consumers will want to be in a self-driving car?
Ooh, the last point you said is the most interesting one. I think if you're in a major southern city, and because snow is a big problem for an autonomous car, you will have access to these probably by the end of this decade, I'd imagine. I don't know if Tesla will ever figure it out, but I'm sure Waymo will expand to Dallas and major Florida cities and every other big city. It makes sense to have them where there's a high density of people. The people getting over, not having a driver, I can imagine what people thought when planes first came out. I'd imagine, especially a plane, most people would see that and think there's no way I'm ever going to get on that thing. But I think it'll happen pretty quick, especially when people see how much cheaper it is to do these. there's some guy named Tony Seba. I think he's a professor at Stanford. And he said, once these autonomous car networks are scaled up, it'll be 10x cheaper to just take rides in that versus owning your car. And he said, whenever there's been something like that in society, people just move towards it super fast because it's such, the differential in money is so huge. So I don't think it will happen here in Longmont, maybe by 2030, but I would suspect in most major southern cities, yes, you will not have to own a car. It'll be super easy. You'll pull up an app. There'll be a car that'll show up within a minute or two because there'll be so many of them. It'll be super cheap and super safe.
Yeah. Interesting. So I have another note on here for EV leases, and it's interesting. So I guess some of those are pretty cheap and they're actually a decent deal. Do you have any insight on the EV leases?
I do not, except for just kind of what you hinted at. I've heard that you can lease them for super cheap. And I know some of the, I think some of the federal tax credits still apply if you lease the car, which is pretty crazy. I don't know much more beyond that, but yeah, I think it can be a super good deal.
In my little bit of research, like there's a lot of those cars on the lots, and apparently the dealers are incentivized to make these go away. So there have been, you know, cheaper and cheaper prices. Someone we know, I think they got a Nissan Leaf for, I forget the amount, but it was like really cheap, a few year lease. It's not, you know, a sexy model or anything. It was one that worked for that specific family and sounded like a good deal. One of the reasons why some people are like, oh, I'd rather lease an EV, if the technology changes a lot, or maybe, I don't know, like the charging network is different than they expected or whatever they were promised, they're not stuck with a car for many years. It's like a 3-year lease and then you return it, get another car, do whatever you're going to do. And then one of the issues potentially is if you buy a car, like I think Tesla did this, they lowered their prices quite a bit a couple years ago.
Yep.
So if you bought a car and then they lowered the price by, what was it, like $10,000 or something?
Yeah, a lot.
So all of a sudden, like you have a car that you paid $10,000 more than you could just buy a brand new one for. And it kind of makes the used car market weird. You're potentially like upside down on that, on the value of that car, at least for a few years. So if you lease it, then at least you're sort of minimizing, you return the car when you're all done with it. So,
yep.
All right. And the final thing around cars is car insurance. And apparently car insurance has increased a lot, about 26% over the last year, which is insane. Did you notice any difference? I guess you got a new car, so your stuff was changing anyway, right?
Yeah, I did. It went crazy. We had our friend's minivan for a while, and it was in super shoddy shape. So last year, we were paying $400, and then we got the renewal, and it went up to $800, so it doubled.
Holy crap.
I know, right?
Damn. When you got a teenage driver in your house, so that changes things too?
Yeah, that is the majority of our cost. So, Doug, you might think I'm insane, but even for the Tesla, we just bought the thing for cash. We just have the minimal insurance on it. If we cause an accident, it is not covered at all.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I was trying to lower our insurance a little more, but Elizabeth was like, we should keep that coverage a little bit more. I did reduce some stuff, but she was like, we should pay for that. And I was like, I don't think we should. But anyway, she won that one. It wasn't that much money. So if the price increase for insurance varies a lot by the state. So Missouri saw a massive 44% increase, and Wyoming actually went down by just a little bit if you look at 23 versus 24. So by the way, we'll put links for all the research that I did. So if people want to dig a little deeper, there's some bank rate links, Lending Tree, Kelley Blue Book, and some others. So we'll put links so you could do a little bit more research on your own. Now, before we get to the fast food and the alarming price growth over there, we have a sponsor, and that's Ghost Bed. So, Carl, we were talking sleep before, and we talk about sleep a lot, and you said you haven't been sleeping that well. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It might just be hangover from all this travel. A lot of times when you're not in your own bed and can't control everything, you don't sleep as well. I'm very temperature sensitive. I like to sleep with a body pillow. We actually went on our trip without it, so I went out and bought a new one. Do you use a body pillow, Doug?
No.
Okay. So no body pillow for you. And then we came home and it's just been so hot and just trying to get the temperature right. We have the chili pad, which is the bed cooler, which does a really nice job of cooling the mattress, but nothing is free. It takes the heat from the mattress and expels it into the room. So the offshoot of that is you have to keep the room a little cooler to compensate for all the heat being thrown off by that. So it took me a little while after we got back from our trip because it wasn't really hot until we got back. And it's been miserable ever since. So I think I have it dialed in now, but it took like a week or two of really poor sleep to get it correct.
Mm. Okay. Yep. And one thing you could check out is a Ghost Bed mattress, which you actually have the classic, and the Ghost Beds are famous for their cooling technology. So they have a layer in there. I think it's gel of some kind. It's high-tech stuff. They have patents on it. And you actually have one of the classic mattresses in your guest quarters, right?
Yeah, it does sleep cooler. It is in my basement, which is cooler to begin with. So I've threatened Mindy with moving down to the basement.
Yeah, you should check it out down there. How much cooler is it in the basement?
At least 20 degrees if I didn't run the AC at all.
20 degrees. Good Lord. That's crazy. Well, you could also check out some of the sheets over at Ghost Bed. They have... Again, cooling technology, family-owned business with 20 years of experience, 60,000 plus five-star reviews, and 101-night at-home sleep trial. So you could check it out. You could save 50% if you go to ghostbed.com/milehighfi. And last time you told me you took a little nap down there. You should take more naps on that mattress, buddy.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try that. I've actually been able to improve my sleep with some strategies lately, so I think I will be able to take naps. I've always had a hard time with it. I think I can do it now.
It's easy. All you have to do is lay down and don't move. And then a lot of times you fall asleep.
Speak for yourself.
All right. So fast food costs. I found a bunch of stories about the rising cost of fast food. I noticed it myself, you know, when I was trying to get a Wendy's, I don't know, like a Dave's Classic, whatever, and it's like $8 or something. But I found the original research over at Finance Buzz, and we'll link up to that so you can check it out. So they analyzed the pricing for a dozen different chain restaurants over the last decade. From 2014 to 2024, the average menu price rose between 39% and 100%, and all increases, they completely outpaced inflation during that given time period, which was 31% over that 10-year period. So McDonald's is one of the worst here. So those prices have doubled, and that's 100% increase. It's the highest among any of the 12. Are you a McDonald's frequent guest?
Oh, I
don't lie.
No, I probably go there twice a year, although I do like a quarter pounder. I think that tastes good.
Okay. Yeah, it's not too often. Occasionally it's road trips, and sometimes like we're like, "Oh, you know what? We'll stop at McDonald's or whatever." But yeah, not too often. I think maybe the last time I had it, my dad was in town, so that was maybe like a couple years ago, but we were like about to go on a big hike or something like that, and I was like, "Oh, you know what? McDonald's is open." It was a small town. I was like, "We'll go there." So, no shame. Sometimes you go to McDonald's. It's consistent. They're all over the place, all right? They're all over the place. Funny thing, they have okay salads. I don't know if you ever got a salad there.
I think I have. And yeah, I had the same thought. It was fine. And they have like yogurt, so you can eat healthier there if you really want to.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a little confession. We eat at McDonald's sometimes. All right. So Taco Bell, I know this has hit you hard.
Yeah.
So they were third on the list. Their prices have increased by 81%. And there's a specific stat, and I'll find that. So let's see. A Doritos Locos Taco has gone from an average price of $1.39 in 2014 to $2.59 in 2024. And a Cheesy Gordita Crunch has doubled in price from $2.49 to $4.99. And the five layer beefy burrito, it used to cost $1.59, so cheap. Now it's $3.69, so really expensive. Because I mean, Taco Bell was one of the places, it was sort of a a cultural joke of just like, oh, you eat at Taco Bell, it's so cheap, right?
Yeah.
So have you noticed the specific, what's your go-to there?
I did. Our kid wanted to go there last week, so I usually get whatever their box thing is. And it used to be called the $5 box because it was $5. And now that box is like $12. And I think it's more of a Colorado thing. Everything costs more here. Have you noticed that on your road trips? Like if you're in the middle of Kansas, things are definitely cheaper. And like Cincinnati economy, you can get Skyline Chili, like a whole meal for like $8 or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's pricey around here for sure.
Yeah. So I wonder why Taco Bell and McDonald's have outpaced inflation so much. Did you read anything about that?
Not that I remember. I think there was some of the normal, like, oh, it's expensive to hire people, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't run across anything specific for any of these. They didn't do that analysis. They just like published the data. So, yeah.
I'm bringing up a photo as we talk. Have you ever been to a Buc-ee's, Doug?
I haven't. I've seen them and it's all the rage, right? There's one up in Loveland, just a couple exits up from where we live.
Yes, yes. So I was there just yesterday. I had to go up to Fort Collins to take care of some business. And I took a picture. If you're watching YouTube, I'm going to show Doug this picture I took. I went there to get the Beast Burrito. But anyway, on my way out, I saw that they're hiring people. If you're a cashier, or it says gift, cleaning, janitorial, warehouse, or grocery stocker, $18 an hour. If you clean the toilets, that's $20 and no experience necessary. If you don't know how to clean a toilet, apparently they will tell you. Food service and car wash, 21. Assistant food service manager, 33 to 42 an hour. So that's like $70,000 a year.
Wow.
My first job 25 years ago, it paid me $37,000 a year. If you're the general manager of the thing, $200,000 a year. It's crazy. Wow. Car wash manager, 125 plus.
Damn. Do you think you could be an assistant manager?
I think I could be an assistant to the assistant manager.
I think you can too. I wonder if you get like a shift, like what do you call it? A monster burrito? What is it called?
Yeah, they call it the Beast Burrito.
How was it?
It was good. I think it was like $8 or $9, but it was big. I ate the whole thing and I shouldn't have 1,060 calories, I think. But yeah, it was good if you... Not great, like not as good as something you'd get like on Mission Beach in California, but it was good.
How big was it? About the size of your forearm?
That's not that big. It was similar to Chipotle, maybe a little bit smaller than that.
Okay. And what was the quality? Would you compare it to Chipotle?
No, not the same quality. It was good though. I would do it again.
Other observations from Buc-ee's?
Oh, it's crazy. It's everything that's right or everything wrong with America, depending on how you think about it. They have a wall of beef jerky and it's, I don't know. They did have some like nice protein bars. I got a protein Pop-Tart thing, which probably isn't that great. Probably a bunch of processed nonsense in there, but it was good. It's insane. I can't believe you haven't gone. We should go there and do a live recording from Buc-ee's.
Yeah, I've heard there's like still a line. Did you have to wait to get in the parking lot and all that?
No, it was 8:30 in the morning and it was still busy. Lots of people there. The thing is an attraction.
Okay.
But it wasn't that bad.
I have heard, yeah, people go from miles around and it's in it, you know, whatever, they get t-shirts and it's like a whole thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, stop there next time you're on your way north on 25.
Okay. All right. It does sound interesting. So has the price of stuff at fast food, has that deterred you from going to those places, or what's your, did you even notice or?
Oh, I definitely noticed. We don't go that often to begin with, so I don't think it really changed much of anything, but it is pretty shocking, I feel, for people who don't have the means, because I think a lot of people rely on that kind of crap for like daily sustenance, right? And I used to work at a McDonald's and you'd see the same people there every day. So if your lunch doubled in price over 2 years, it's going to hit you hard.
And I mean, we do know like just groceries and I mean, the cost of goods have gone up. So obviously that's one of the drivers here. I didn't mention it before, but like things at the grocery store cost more, right? So you guys noticed that.
Yes.
For sure. And I don't have a really strong handle on it. And I think you guys are probably in the same boat. I don't know how much it's gone up because it's like things that we're going to buy anyway. And we know that it's cheaper than going out to eat by a huge margin. So if we're going to eat at home, we know that we're going to buy it. So it's not like I'm trying to find alternatives or anything like that.
Yeah.
But do you have any handle on how much your grocery inflation was, like for your own family?
I do not know. But you know what, Doug? This whole conversation reminds me of the car one. Like the average car is $48,000 and the average box meal at Taco Bell is like 10 or 11. But you can eat far cheaper than that. And far better, just like the Corolla is probably a lot better car than the expensive Mercedes or Tahoe or whatever. You can eat at home a lot healthier for a lot cheaper than going to these fast food places. Still, there's been inflation there, as you pointed out, so that's going to affect you. But no one should be complaining about the price of fast food. Just don't go there.
And I cite that we usually have fast food when we're on road trips, but it's only a portion. So typically, we'll bring stuff that we buy at the grocery store and we'll have little picnics along the way or eat in the car and we'll have, you know, healthier things, knowing that we're going to eat unhealthy things when we're not picking it up, which tends to be, you know, if you keep staying at a hotel or if you're staying at a place where maybe you can't get as much ice and essentially we're just like, we're not going by grocery stores to pick up more food.
Yeah.
On the tail end of trips, we'll end up getting more fast food. And it's just some variety because at some point it's just like cold food isn't doing the job and we're not like doing anything to heat it up. Although, I mean, honestly, there's microwaves at gas stations that you could use, right?
Yeah.
So do you guys do a lot of cooler meals and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we've got coolers for the car that we bring for these trips, bring sandwiches and cold cuts and that type of stuff. I'm trying to think of specifics we brought on the last, like I've been trying to do more protein. So sometimes I'll just bring protein mix and milk and drink that, and that's my meal.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to tipping. Tipping culture is very confusing. We see defaults of 20%, 25%, 30%. Have you seen 35% anywhere?
I don't think I've seen that. Definitely 30, though. You're right there.
And sometimes these are like restaurants where you get like no service. And there's other places that ask for tips that are not restaurants, of course. I did a little research here and I found a Pew Research study. And the gist of it is, I'll link up, but the gist of it is people are confused. The majority of people are confused about when to tip and how much to tip. And I'll link up to it so you can look and get the specific numbers here. And one interesting thing, the public is more likely to oppose suggested tip amounts. So 40% oppose suggested tip amounts, and it's only 24% that actually favor it. So the main takeaway is people are confused on how much they're supposed to tip and when they're supposed to tip and stuff like that. Okay, so I'm coming out against the tipping culture because it is confusing. I worked in food service and hospitality for just a couple years, like sort of off and on here and there. And I'm usually a very good tipper. So, you know, usually it's like 20, 25%, even before we had this sort of inflated tipping culture currently, to the point where Elizabeth, my wife, would tell me not to tip so much. Like, hey, why are you tipping so much? And I was like, oh, you know what? They did a good enough job. Blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, I'm noticing tips and predetermined tips at places where you literally get no service. So these are like fast casual places, which break down to the exact same service you get at like McDonald's or a true fast food place. So quick example is the food hall. There's a new food hall that opened up. Essentially, it's like a food court, but they call it a food hall, so it's fancier or something like that. And have you been there yet, Carl?
I have.
And it was fine. I got some food and it was okay. A little bit expensive, but you order the food and then they buzz you whenever your food's ready and go walk and get it. As far as I could tell, there's no service.
Correct.
Did you get any service when you were
there? No, that's the same thing.
Yeah, so it's like, you buy your food and it's like 18 bucks or something. And then they're looking for a 20 to 30% tip. And I was like, you're literally doing nothing here. So am I an asshole for thinking that?
No, I mean, in the old days, you would never tip for takeout, which is the same thing. Like if you go order a pizza and pick it up, we never tipped those people. That was just what you did and how it is. And now it seems like you're supposed to, or you're encouraged to, right?
Mm-hmm. And here's the issue. So I'm not crazy, number one, or I'm not a dick. I might be crazy, but I'm not a dick.
No, I don't think you are.
Okay. So in that case, and I'll be honest, people can, you could hate me, leave a comment on YouTube if you think I'm wrong here. So at the food hall, I tipped $2, which was roughly like 10%, which I think is more, I mean, again, they didn't do shit. They just like gave me my food and it was fine. Like no major complaints, but they didn't do anything. The thing is, I don't know what their business model is. And it's not my job to understand if they're not paying their people enough. And if they're relying on a 30% tip to earn a wage, they should quit and the business should go out of business, right? Not my job to manage your business or pay your employees if you fucked up your cash flow or whatever. So pretty harsh. Support the workers. When I go to an actual restaurant or I go to a brewery, tip great, you know, 20 to 30%, like I said. But if I'm in a questionable place where I'm like, I'm not getting any service, I'll tip very low. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The business should step up and pay their people better. It seems like, are they trying to pass on that cost to us? That's what it seemed like to me, because this wasn't the convention before. And if it is the convention now, why is it? I don't understand that. But I noticed one other interesting thing, which I never seen before on a recent road trip. Well, maybe one of them I'd seen sporadically, but at a couple of hotels we stayed at, there was a little QR code, a thing to tip the person who made up the room. Have you seen that before?
Oh, no, not the QR code.
Okay. It happened multiple times, multiple hotels. And then I saw this other one multiple times too, where at the food, like the little breakfast thing they have where they've got bagels and sometimes eggs and sausage, there was a tip jar there as well. And I don't think I had ever seen that before this year.
Man, I don't know. Because I think like some industries, like it makes sense, but yeah, it's out of hand. And I think like people are talking about it, right? Yeah. And we're like observing it. And it's like, oh, back in the day, I thought you weren't supposed to tip on like tax and the other bullshit charges they put in there.
Yeah.
And now it's like kind of expected like to be on top of it. And the percentages are getting high. The thing is, the food's also more expensive or whatever. So like, instead of going out to eat, again, I open this with saying we're going to be old men and complain about stuff. But now, like, what does it cost for you and your family to go out to eat? It's like $150 or something like that. If you go to a reasonable place, get a couple drinks, appetizers or whatever, what's it cost? I don't know.
Yeah, if you have alcohol and it's with four people, it's probably $80 to $100 here in Longmont on Main Street.
Yeah, it's a banana, Michael. What could it cost? $10?
Nice.
So, yeah, it's pretty rough. But let us know about the tipping culture, because I think it is confusing and we're seeing like people asking for tips in more places. So it seems even more invasive. We're like, are we supposed to tip for this? It's crazy. But you traveled to Europe in the last couple of years, right? Generally in Europe, no tipping. It's included in the price, right?
Yeah, it's not a thing. One other one, which is probably the worst example I've seen recently, and this I saw on a recent trip too, it was a farmer's market. So you could go buy like a bag of cheese curds or a cookie or whatever. And there were tip jars all over that. So I'm supposed to pay you a tip for handing me the cookie or bag of cheese curds. It's, I don't know.
What stuff can we ask for tips where it's like, I mean, I guess we're already doing the buy me a coffee thing. Someone should comment that. I understand the irony here. But yeah, what else? Can you think of anything where like, oh yeah, you should give us a tip? What about the co-working place? You're like, oh yeah, give me a tip. Oh, you guys should put a tip jar up for the janitors. That's Pete, right?
No, we actually hired a janitor. So
oh, never mind. Scratch it. You can really do it.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got that part taken care of. I'm trying to think. I feel like I've seen something more ridiculous recently, but I don't remember what it was.
I could see it at like an Airbnb. And then again, I would complain. I'd be like, you're already charging me these outrageous cleaning and other phantom fees out there. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And it's not even a matter. I don't want people to think we're cheap, although we probably are. It's not even a matter of that. I'd rather just pay more upfront for whatever the item is, have that business pay their people better, and then eliminate the tip. And I think that works out better for everyone, because then the worker isn't relying on this thing that's variable to make their living wage or whatever. They are, the business is paying them just like they should be. And yeah, that's how I would prefer to have things work.
And I agree. That was my last bullet point. I said, just raise your prices. Like if you're telling your employees that they're supposed to be getting like a 25% tip all the time, just pay them more. We'd much rather have like, hey, we're a tip-free place. Like people would talk about that. That would actually get press. They could probably market the hell out of their business and get a lot of attention by just being like a little bit different instead of piling more weird tipping culture on top of us. But I'm sure we're being assholes here. So if you guys could let us know. It feels wrong. It feels like we should tip and be more generous, but it's like everybody's coming at us, you know?
Yeah, it's just weird. I like giving my money away, but I don't like being forced into these weird situations that weren't there pre-COVID, I guess. Do you think COVID changed all this? It seems like that was the tipping point.
Yeah, I guess so. Especially when people were like, oh, we need to support our local businesses so they stay in business. It was a tough time and all that kind of stuff. I could see that.
Yeah.
And then they just kept it around.
Yes, it was one of the unintended consequences or unintended results.
Well, and one of the other hard things, and then I think we could wrap up this segment here. It's a little annoying, and it pushes the cost up, and it encourages folks that maybe wouldn't go out, or maybe they were like, we could eat in or we could eat out. I'm going to eat in more often if there's like little annoyances, like little cultural annoyances that I could avoid. Of course, you know, sometimes we go out, and the thing is like, that's just about enough for me to do some social things. But yeah, instead of like going out to eat or something, like we're more likely just to stay in or go to the grocery store. That'll be the next thing. You have to like tip. You go through self-checkout and you have to like tip someone else. It's like, I just checked my own self out. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, yeah. So. We'll have to tip ourselves, I guess. This is a business opportunity. We should start a business all run by AI and robots. I actually saw this at a robot drink machine where you'd press a button and these arms would come out and dump bottles of all the liquor in there or whatever. And then like, you shouldn't have to tip a robot, I don't think. That would just be completely ridiculous. We know humanity needs to be, humanity deserves a meteor when you have to tip the robot.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was a self-indulgent episode. Hopefully most of it was interesting and then it got worse at the end. But if you have any thoughts or comments on tipping, car prices, or otherwise, let us know. If you have any questions about it or just comments in general. And I think that's it. Anything else from you, Carl?
No, I don't think so. I have some thoughts, but they would get us into even more trouble. So I'll just shut my mouth.
All right. You tell me off the air. Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington, the Balder host, and Carl Jensen is the cool, sexy one. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. Carl and I are just two guys with microphones that sit in my basement and talk. So we'll catch y'all next week. So we usually do like a full-on fitness update every quarter or so, but we'll just do sort of a mini one here. So I recently talked about how I hurt my back lifting weight. So that sucked. And luckily, after about a week, it was probably like 85%. And I'm pretty much better now. But I was like, oh, I need to strengthen my core a little bit. I'm not sure what went on, but it was painful. And that's like a mini update. I could tell you more stuff. But yeah, where are you at fitness-wise?
I'm doing pretty good. One injury I do have, though, is I did a bunch of squats and deadlifts, and I felt really, really good about it. I did a morning workout, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back and do another workout in the afternoon. And that went fine, but the next day I had a bunch of pain in my knee when I go upstairs, and it has been getting a little bit better every day, but it still hurts to this day. Only when I go upstairs, but I probably shouldn't do any more deadlifts or squats until that goes away. Have you ever screwed up your knees? Or
fortunately, my knees, no issues. Occasionally, it's felt a little tired, but I've been doing a lot of the stair climber thing with a weighted vest.
Yep.
And just to like train to go hiking higher elevations and stuff. And actually, I sort of just like did too many in too many days, and I've been playing pickleball some too.
Yeah.
So it's just like a lot of stuff on my feet, but not from lifting weights. Nope.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I've been doing a lot with the upper body. We were talking to Brad, and he was telling us about his workout where he does this whole upper body thing in one day, and I adopted that. I think it's been going super good. I'm at the gym for a very long time, but I'm there less often, which is great. So yeah, I feel good about that. I think lack of sleep has been maybe screwing me.
Yeah.
So I work out these big muscle groups. I start out with pull-ups and I do push-ups. And I noticed the past two times when I went to do these exercises after not one but 2 days of rest, I'm still sore. I don't really notice it in the course of life and just messing around the home. But as soon as I go to do the lat pull-down at the gym, I feel the muscle pain. So I'm still not healed after 2 days. And it's got to be lack of sleep because I'm normally not like that.
Interesting. So I was doing, I think maybe it was like 2.5 months or so, sort of more of a normal split, but I wasn't doing like all upper body, but I was doing basically all big muscle groups in 4 days per week or so. And I've been trying to like change it up after some amount of time. So say 2 months. Anyway, so then I went to one exercise. I do 10 sets, 10 of 10. And I'm not in there for as long, but I just do like one compound lift type thing. And I was like, this is a great change because I don't have to like keep going to different machines. I'm just like, I'm doing this. First few sets are fairly easy. By the end, I'm failing. And it's been a great like change up overall.
So you're saying you're doing 10 sets of the exact same thing. Is that it? 10 sets and 10 reps per set?
Yep.
Okay. Are you changing the weight or keeping the same weight?
Usually I end up changing the weight, but if I'm really dialed in, it's usually the same weight, but often I'll make it a little heavier. And then towards the tail end, I may make it lighter, but I'm going nearly to failure, on the last few sets.
Okay. Interesting. So you're using machines for that or?
It depends. Usually I'm using barbells or dumbbells, but sometimes depending on what it is, I might use the machines.
Okay. Are you sitting there the whole time? The issue that I've talked about before that I run into is I'll do a set and then take a walk and off, and there'll be someone sitting on the machine by the time I get back to doing my next set.
I'll stand there menacingly.
Nice.
Next to it. I get up because if someone wants to work through, that's cool. But a lot of times if I'm on the, you know, those Smith machines, the racks.
Yeah.
So the time of day that I go, there's not too many, it's usually old people. So they're not like trying to do fucking squats and deadlifts on the machine. So I could just sort of stand there and no one comes around. But if somebody wants to work in, they can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the switch up because like you said, you're doing all of upper body, and how long are you there? Like a couple hours or whatever?
Yeah. Usually like 2 hours.
And you're fucking tired. You're sore for days. Like you're working out too much. That's what I told you, right? I was like, don't work out for like 5 days.
You did tell me that. Yeah. Yeah. I did not take your advice.
I bet do it. And then you'll come back the next week and you'll lift more.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing it. We've got our time in the mountains soon. And also, yeah. I think the rec center is going to be shut down for a week, right? Like coming up at the end of the month.
Oh, I didn't even look. Is that right?
Yeah.
What for? Oh, shit.
I don't know. Some kind of maintenance shit.
Oh. Yeah. That'll suck. All right. Yeah. One last little update. So, got a physical recently. The my cholesterol was 1 point lower than it was a year ago, which is good. So, 191, which is good. Nice. And what was yours when you got it checked? You're even lower, right?
I don't know. It was around there somewhere, under 200, but I don't remember the number.
My blood pressure, though, it was like 105 over 53 or something like that. They were like, is it really low all the time? Like, what's going on? Yeah. So it's like lower than it ever has been, I think.
Man, that's awesome. So your resting heart rate is super low. So I would think those two go hand in hand. You just have super good cardio health.
Yeah. I think basically. Yeah. So my heart, resting heart rate for my Apple Watch is like, I think it's around 48 these days. I have been drinking more. So the alcohol definitely makes it go higher. But when I stopped drinking for whatever, like a couple weeks ago, it went down to like 45, 44, like when I woke up in the morning. So, and my cardio isn't that great right now, like VO2 max wise. I don't know. Maybe it was a running for the previous years, which I don't run anymore. Huh. So I just do just enough, I guess. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that's still a really low resting heart rate. I mean, that's you're probably in the top percentile there or close to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'd like to overall fitness. My goal before was to like lower my fat percentage, and basically I might be like 0.5% lower. Like I'm basically where I was. I'm maybe a little bit leaner, but not much. Do I look different?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
You're as handsome as you've ever been, Doug.